Good evening, and welcome to our 65th episode of Dr. Smith Live. Have a very interesting topic tonight from a personal friend and also a patient of mine that I've become close with. So it's something that is a word to the wise, as they say, is sufficient, hopefully. Anyway, on a little other note, one of our patients requested about the divining rods. So I got a text from Paul Moon up in Toronto. He sent me down 6 sets of the divining rods. So they'll be coming in hopefully within the next 10 days. So we'll have, for anyone who wants to buy a pair, they'll be $150. He said his costs have gone up. Some of the materials are like hard to come by. But anyway, so it's really interesting way to diagnose yourself or your family or friends. So I want to introduce Dr. Dan Tuttle. He's a chiropractor down in Florida. And I'm going to turn the mic over to him and let him tell you how he wound up on my doorstep as a result of probably one of the biggest terrorist groups on the planet, Denton. So Dan,
thank you, Dr. Smith. I'm so excited to talk about what is my favorite topic to discuss with you, teeth. And I never thought I'd be so interested in it, but nothing like having a problem to get you focused on a subject. So I am a chiropractor, and I'm a licensed psychotherapist, but I do a sacrooccipital technique and chiropractic craniopathy. And I knew a lot already about the importance of teeth as they relate to the cranium and the bones in the head. And I had a dentist who told me he liked to overfill teeth, which in retrospect is really not a good quality to have in a dentist. And he did that. So then I started getting some pain with chewing and, went to another dentist. I moved to Florida. I kind of put it off. I was in school. I moved to Florida to get it fixed. And I told the dentist, you know, look, I just please. I told him what to do, but he didn't do that. He drilled and filled 3 teeth and made the problem worse. Then I went to another dentist who made the problem even worse. Then I went to another dentist who made it a little better, tried to undo what the first 2 did. Then I went to 4 and 5. Then I went to 6. 6 was a disaster. Took 2 of my teeth out of occlusion, which if you can picture a table with 4 legs, basically just kicked one of the legs out. So on and on and on and on. I could not find a dentist in Florida. So I contacted a guy I know in California who referred me to a dentist in California who he knew, who said, yeah, I think I can help you. He says, but you can't be flying out to the West Coast. You need somebody on the East Coast. And so I said, well, who's the guy on the East Coast? Because when you're on dentist number 10, you'll fly anywhere. And that was Dr. Smith. And so I flew up to see Dr. Smith. And I mean, he had me figured out on the phone. I still don't quite understand that. But I got up there. And everyone had made the wrong diagnosis. There was actually the top of my mouth, the top bone in my mouth, the maxilla, couldn't balance because a filling had fallen out. And so Dr. Smith put a piece of bonding, I believe the width of a piece of typing paper on the tooth. And I stood up and I was like, oh. And I mean, I felt 95% resolved in whatever that amount, you know, whatever it takes for you to stand up off of a.
Well, it's interesting. How about your SI joint? You had the tremendous instability.
Right. So the other thing was I am a chiropractor. And so obviously I'm very aware of my body and I had to be constantly getting adjusted and I couldn't hold an adjustment. So, I mean, if I got adjusted, in fact, I remember I got adjusted and I went out to lunch with somebody. And while I was eating lunch, I felt it go out. I mean, it didn't, of course, because my teeth weren't hitting right. So it was chronic instability. And so then I began to realize the the importance and the significance of teeth and how like there was like this hidden missing link for so many things. And then I started to learn more from Dr. Smith about it. And then I began to start seeing it in my patients. And so it's been this incredible journey. So anytime I can get anywhere near Dr. Smith and talk to him about the mouth and the dentistry and how it relates to the rest of the body, I will just perk up. So I'm so happy to be here.
Well, I want to show an interesting slide here. Let me see. He says, "Be sure to screen." So, can you see the? Well, here.
Shit. Oh yeah.
Got too many things going here. Anyway, this picture right here shows all the teeth with the nerves coming off of each tooth going up into the brain, into the fifth cranial nerve, the trigeminal nerve. So that's why in my clinical experience, 70 to 90% of all medical problems have a dental origin, because you not only have a neurological connection between the teeth and the brain, but you also have a structural connection with the bite and the 28 cranial bones that surround the brain. So anyway, it's pretty powerful when once you understand the neurological and structural connection between the teeth, the brain, the spine, the pelvis, the sacrum, sure. The whole thing.
Well, and that was the other part of the story, was after you made that initial correction, I didn't have anyone adjust me for like 3 months. I went from every few hours to once every 3 months, just like that.
Well, again, you can only diagnose what you've been trained to see. So I know you had some basic questions to ask me regarding the teeth and the body, and you said, how did I get beyond the basic dentistry? Well, it was actually in 1982, I gave a little presentation, a little talk on TMJ to a chiropractic study group. And then they invited me to join the group. And, you know, they had an SOT chiropractor, AK chiropractor. We had an oral surgeon. We had an orthodontist. We had a medical doctor. We had a physical therapist. We had a few general dentists and a few chiropractors, and it absolutely opened my whole mind to a whole new field that I had no idea what it was about. And then Harvey Getzoff in 1982, I believe he invited me to a postgraduate chiropractic meeting in the Meadowlands, and Larry DeMann, who was a big lecturer at the time from Manhattan, he gave a 2-day presentation about the cranium, the TMJ, and the pelvis. And, you know, the whistles and bells started to go off in my head, because I saw that he didn't understand the occlusion part of the equation to the TMJ, the cranium, and the pelvis. So that sent me down a major rabbit hole.
I bet.
Yeah. And you also wanted to know, like, the importance of the occlusion and why it's so important. Well, unfortunately, 99.9999% of the dentists have no clue when you put a filling in the tooth on the biting surface, that if the pressure is not exactly balanced, it could torque or twist your head. And, you know, dentists like toys, and so they have T-scans, and they have all kinds of other little whistles and bells and computers to assess whether your bite is right. But the thing that's missing is you literally have to put your hands on the patient's head and feel from the church of what's happening now, that when you close your teeth together, if your cranium doesn't remain balanced, you're in trouble. And they don't know that. So to basically 99.999% of dentists are flying by the seat of their pants. They put a filling in, they check it with a carbon paper, they take off the high spot, but they still don't know what the impact of that filling is doing to the patient's head. And it's pretty frightening when you think about it.
Yeah, and you've taught me some of your analysis for determining if there's an issue going on there with the occlusion. And so I've been able to find that in some of my patients that, you know, they've had these kind of things happen to them where a tooth has been overfilled or some other, you know, alteration has been made in the mouth. And so I've been able to find these things on people now and, you know, refer out, because obviously I'm not a dentist, but it just opened my eyes to it. And unfortunately, as you said, it's really hard to find one who has any understanding of what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I mean, we get calls and emails from people literally all over the world on a regular basis. I just did a consult this afternoon with a woman from Sydney, Australia. You know, her mother's falling apart and the doctors are saying she has Parkinson's, she has ALS, all these neurological problems. And in the history, she said her mother has full dentures. So I said, Stephanie, is your mother's dentures about 20 years old or longer? She said, yeah. I said, I wish my tires would last for 20 years. I said, there's your problem. When your denture teeth wear down in the back and you overclose, you get compression of the whole spine. I said, that's why your mother can't walk, because she has a compressed spine. The muscles, the SI joint, the sacrum, the pelvis, they're all dysfunctional. I mean, I had a woman fly in a little over a year ago from the UK. She was in a wheelchair. In an hour and a half, I have the video of her walking up and down my hallway because her dentures weren't made properly. And it was overclosed, compressed her spine, and the right away, oh, you have Parkinson's. It's, I'll tell you, you really got to be thankful that you know somebody who knows what the hell they're doing.
So, absolutely.
Yeah, anyway, so interestingly, one of the key issues with you was that you had a crossbite, and the teeth on the lower left side, 18 and 19, they directly relate to the SI joint. Mm-hmm. You know, back in the 50s, there was a medical doctor from East Germany, of all places, Reinhold Voll, who literally made the connection between the different teeth, the muscles, and different organs. And 18 and 19 were real sore, and they had a bad bite. And that was really the core issue for your instability of your sacroiliac.
Yeah.
Amazing. And anyway, I think, what was it? Was it the first time I adjusted you? You said you slept through the night?
Oh, the night. I went back to the hotel room and it was like my whole, that afternoon, my whole system relaxed and I slept for several hours. And yeah, then that whole night, I don't think I ever slept so good. I mean, it was because my system had been
traumatized.
Traumatized. It was trying to find balance. And then when it found balance, it said, oh, rest.
Well, it stopped beating up on your adrenals. Yeah. So, you know, back in 1936, Hans Selye, he did some research and he showed that if you have psychological distress, chemical distress, or structural distress, the adrenals react the same way. They can't differentiate psychological, chemical, or structural imbalances, so they keep firing. Well, they get weak enough, and your blood pressure goes south, your blood sugar goes wonky, so you know you get mental fog, you get fatigue, you get sensitivity to bright lights, you get insomnia, cold hands, cold feet, you know, multitude of symptoms. And you can, you know, run around from doctor to doctor to doctor, but they don't connect the occlusal imbalances with the physiologic distress that it's creating in the body. And unfortunately, they've compartmentalized all the so-called specialties. So they think they're working on a robot that only their little segment of the body is isolated. But, you know, had a professor, and he said, it's so simple to show that your foot and your mouth are connected. He says, if you drop 100-pound weight on your foot, you think your mouth's not going to move. So anyway, it's kind of fun once you start to see the connection. And I know you had some questions about the ALF because one of the things that we picked up is you were like a glass doll, meaning you're very, very sensitive. Any slight changes, your body literally fell apart. And so after we kind of tweaked the bite, I said, you still have a torque in your pelvis and your temporal bones. I said, the only way we can resolve that is with the ALF, advanced light wire functional appliance. Now, unfortunately, 99% of all dentists that use it don't correlate it with my cranial indicator. So they can adjust the appliance and make it wider, but they don't know the impact, what it's doing to the human skull. So anyway, I made you a what I call an ALF ultralight, a very light wire appliance. And that basically acted as a cast on the broken bone, holding your temporal bones stable, which kept your pelvic bones stable. And so I think you found a tremendous relief just from that light wire appliance.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, it was one of those things where you put it in and I was like, whoa, whoa. And even, you know, it every time you've had to adjust it, it's just like, it's amazing. It's because everything goes back into that center point. And every time I have to come see you, it's I fall apart. You know, you have to tweak it. And so the amount that I'll be, if you take it out, the amount that I go out is less and less and less. So, you know, getting very near.
Well, what's interesting, I think the last time you come in, I didn't even have to adjust the teeth. Normally you would have like a sore spot on the teeth that I would have to adjust, and I didn't even have to touch it.
No, you didn't. In fact, actually they were better. They're the best they've been.
Yeah. Well, it's also interesting. I have a patient who flies in from the UK. He's a young fellow, probably in his early 30s. Late 20s, and he was in a cliff diving accident about 3.5 years ago. Long story short, he had 3 operations on his shoulder, and the pain was still there. And so I adjusted his cranium. The next day, his pain totally disappeared from his shoulder. But even more interestingly, he had a very narrow maxilla, and about 2 visits ago, I put an ALF appliance in and adjusted it to balance his cranium. Well, he came in the next day and he said, Dr. Smith, I've had IBS, irritable bowel syndrome, for 6 years. I've never had a solid bowel movement for 6 years. And he said, you put the ALF in, and I woke up the next day and I had a normal bowel movement.
Wow.
So it was affecting the vagus nerve, which was impacting on the gastrointestinal system. So this is how powerful rebalancing the cranial mechanism can be to the rest of the body. So
absolutely. It's just the ability for, you know, because as a chiropractor, you know, I work on balancing pelvises and craniums all day, and to know that there's another way to do it, and that for some people it's an absolute necessity. And when I read about ALF in like discussion groups and stuff, and just in general, everyone talks about expansion, expansion, expansion. You must expand the maxilla. You must expand the palate. And there's no regard for what it's doing to the rest of the head.
Yeah, because you don't have the training.
No. And you know, you have 4 indicators. And once you actually know how to use them, I mean, it's really kind of simple.
Yep.
I mean, it's really simple. Cranial is complicated, but you made it very simple.
Well, for my philosophy, I remember what Einstein always said, if you can't explain it in terms that the average person can understand, then you don't understand it. So, and the closer you get to the truth, the more simplistic the solution is. So if you get too esoteric and people don't understand what the hell you're talking about, then you don't understand the problem. So, you know, it's just like I had a mechanic years ago. We had a sign in his reception room. He said, if I can't impress you with my brilliance, I'll baffle you with the bullshit. And unfortunately, most of these doctors take a course in the BS 101, where they're just snowing the patient in any field. So anyway, you had also asked me about TMJ problems and versus some collection of issues. Well, TMJ really stands for too much junk. And the TM joint is really reactionary to the cranium, the pelvis, and the bite. And unfortunately, when you go to a dentist, all he wants to do is make you a $2,000 appliance to put on your teeth. But that's just a wagging tail of the dog. If you don't integrate the feet, for example, you can have pronated feet, which is causing your temporal bones to twist. And if you don't factor that into the equation, excuse me, you'll never solve the TMJ problem. And you have to think about it. If you have a crooked door frame, do you keep sanding down or shaving down the door to fit the crooked door frame? No, it's illogical. It doesn't make sense. So the dentist, they keep putting appliances in people's mouth and grinding down the appliance to try to make a crooked bite fit a crooked frame. And it doesn't work.
Right. Well, and that was dentist number seven was $2,000 for an appliance that, I mean, well, and it had an upper component too. So it was actually locking my cranium.
Yep. And they don't understand that the maxilla has to expand and it also widens. And if you put a hard processed acrylic over the upper teeth, you're locking the pump for the cerebrospinal fluid around your brain. But they have no clue about that. They think they're working on a mannequin.
Well, and every patient who comes into my office with a TMJ problem, I'll say, well, you have an upper or a lower appliance? And they'll go, it's an upper. And I'll say, but don't you know? But they don't know. Very frustrating.
Yeah, you can quickly test them kinesiologically. Even if they just take their appliance and hold it in their hand and you muscle test them, they're going to blow weak because it's the distorted energy pattern of the appliance that's blowing out their aura or energy field. And so you don't even have to have it in the mouth. You can just hold it in the hand and get the same results. So let me see about some, what are your thoughts on neuromuscular dentistry? Can you capture an ideal bite by relaxing the muscles with addressing cranial? Absolutely. When you realign the cranium, the muscles that are attached to the cranial bones relax. And so then they have the proper function, just like this woman that was in today who had the knee pain. After I adjusted her cranium, I said, how does your bite feel? She said, wow, really comfortable. And her maxilla was canted high, actually on the left side. And after I adjusted her cranium and leveled the maxilla, the lower jaw fit perfectly and the teeth meshed perfectly. And she just felt so much more energy and relaxed. So it's very powerful when you rebalance the occlusal cranial system. Now, interestingly, your teeth, your occlusion, is the self-correcting mechanism for rebalancing your skull. So every time you chew, every time you swallow, every time you bring your teeth together, if the bite is balanced, it just resets the balance of the skull bones. And so, you know, whoever designed us had a master plan that was pretty impressive from my perspective.
Well, and that's different than what you're talking about is different than a T scan, right? Because that's the other thing people come to me. They say, oh, well, I have to have a T scan done.
Well, that just shows you the markings of the pressure of the way the upper and lower teeth come together. So even though they may be, quote, even looking, but again, you still don't know what it's doing to the skull bones. And so, you know, it's just a false sense of security. It's like a doctor who does a blood test. He says, oh, everything's in a normal range. Patient goes out to his car, has a heart attack, and dies in his car. I basically had a personal friend who went to the hospital in the middle of the night with jaw pain, shoulder pain. They evaluated him for an hour and a half. They sent him home. He dropped dead in his car right in front of his house. The police found him, like, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning. I mean, these tests don't really ascertain the true nature of what's going on in your body. It just shows how your body's reacting to something. So, you know, these blood tests, in my opinion, are not indicative of what's really the primary core issue of your problem. So it is a difficult situation, especially when you get these narrow-minded doctors that don't have a clue what the hell's really going on. So how do the teeth relate to the rest of the body? Well, the body's like a slinky. And so if there's a distortion at one end, there's going to be an equal and opposite distortion the other end. So it literally, you can have a descending lesion from your cranium and your bite down to your SI joint, your knees, your ankles, your feet, or you can have an ascending lesion where you may have a pronated foot and it's causing your opposite temporal bone to twist. So, like I said, even the chiropractors are not aware of this. I learned this from Dr. Rothbart many years ago in Albano, Italy. I spent 3 days with him and I evaluated his scoliosis patients and pronated foot patients. And he didn't understand the cranial mechanism at the time. And I discovered that in the high 90% bracket, if you had a pronated foot where your arch caves in, the opposite temporal bone goes into what they call external rotation. So it was a great relationship that I discovered and shared with him, and helped us solve many, many, many problems. Let's see, can problems with the teeth reflection on how the rest of the body is functioning? Absolutely. If you have, well, back in the 40s, there was a big symposium in the Baltimore, and there was medical doctors and dentists there. And the topic was dental interference fields. So if you have an infection in a tooth, I mean, that can impact the brain. It can impact the organs that are related to it. So for example, if you have a canine tooth here and you have an infection in it, that's related to the liver. So you can have liver problems coming from, you know, an infection in the tooth. Now, probably about 12 years ago, I had a patient who had emphysema and the doctors had him on steroids for a little over a year. And when I tested him out, he had a strep infection in the jawbone where a bicuspid tooth was taken out 15 years before. And so when I got rid of the strep infection, his emphysema totally disappeared.
Wow. So
again, you got to start looking at the splinters, the initiators, and not just a general symptom. So yeah, the teeth directly impact on the rest of the body. I mean, we had a woman with lung cancer, and one of the initiators was cytomegalovirus, and it was coming from a root canal tooth. And of course, nobody ever picked up on it, but they cut the tip of her right lung off, and 6 months later, the cancer came back in the left lung. So she said, I'd rather die than go through that surgery again. I had to bring in the pathology slides. I tested what was in the cancerous tissue. So she had cytomegalovirus, mercury, and a pesticide. So I extracted the tooth, put ozone into the jawbone, homeopathics. And anyway, long story short, I put her on nutrients to get rid of the pesticide and the mercury. Well, guess what? 6 months later, the cancer totally disappeared. So interestingly, I think on April 29th, we're having, I think, a live streaming, and I'm pretty sure it's going to be on Roku. We'll put the notice out on our website. I did a 10-part episode on Cancer Deconstructed based on my book on cancer. And so we're going to launch the program with a live streaming on Friday, April 29th. And it's going to be the episode with my lung cancer patient. So it's going to be pretty exciting because people have answers now. And, you know, radiation, chemotherapy, and surgery or may just one small aspect of cancer treatment. It's not getting to the root cause of the problem. It's just painting on rust or treating the rust. So anyway, to me, it's all exciting and how it all fits together and you can understand it. So Dan, do you have any other pearls of wisdom from your personal experience?
Pearls of wisdom from my personal experience?
Yeah.
Well, you have to understand all the mechanisms that are at play.
Which you normally probably didn't think about before it happened to you.
I knew it because I had studied cranial and SOT, you know, there was stuff about, you know, if you have a TMJ problem, you may need to involve a dentist, you know, these kind of general concepts. But I didn't appreciate just how important that was or how much damage could be done if not dealt with properly by someone qualified to discern what the things were going on. So as I've gone through my process with you, I continue to be amazed at the positive effects that what you have done can have on me and my well-being and my body in general. And I'm really very fortunate because you're Dennis number 10, man.
Yeah, it can add years to your life because you're not stressing out your adrenal glands.
And right.
When your adrenals are constantly firing, they're pumping out cortisol, which is a catabolic hormone that literally tears your body down and ages you.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Some, it's just basic. I know, Jared, there was a question up there before. I didn't actually get it. Oh, okay. So how can we change this as one dentist can heal the world? I agree. A list of dental referrals would be helpful. Well, the key, Pamela, is to hand your dentist some basic articles. Like I have a ton of articles on my ICNR website, and some were published in peer-reviewed orthodontic journals and other journals. And even if you hand them a basic occlusal cranial concept article, and you plant the seed. Unfortunately, they're not going to hear about this from the conventional postgraduate dental courses. So you have to get a little proactive, print out an article, and share it with them. That's all. That's all you can do, because unfortunately what I've found is that most healthcare practitioners have big egos and they don't like to get their feathers ruffled from the perspective that they don't really understand what's going on. They really get defensive and they tune you out. So I basically, I did a lot of lecturing up in Toronto. Hopefully if the dictator up there can ascend to the heavens sooner than he's supposed to and open up Canada again to reality, you know, then I'll be going back up there. But for the most part, most dentists, they can't handle it. You remember that movie, A Few Good Men, Jack Nicholson? He says, you can't handle the truth.
Yeah.
And that's the truth. Most healthcare practitioners can't handle the truth. It just blows their paradigm. So are there any frequencies for endometriosis? Well, again, is there infection in the endometrial tissue? Are there heavy metals? Is there glyphosate? Is there dioxin? So you have to stop thinking from an allopathic mentality and start thinking holistically or biologically, meaning if you got a swelling, okay, what's causing the swelling? Yes, I can give you anti-inflammatories. I can give you frequencies for swelling. But if I don't remove the splinter, you're not going to get rid of the swelling. It's going to come back. And the same thing with endometriosis. There's something in the tissue causing it to be constantly swollen and sloughing off. So that's where you have to focus your attention on what the heck's in the tissue causing the problem, or is there nutritional deficiencies in the body so that the tissue can't heal properly? You may not have enough whole body collagen. You may not have enough vitamin C. You may not have enough systemic enzymes or omega-6, omega-3 oils, organic cold pressed, so that the cell membranes can heal and allow the oxygen and nutrients to get in and the waste products get out. You may have a pH problem. So the more acidic you are, the lower the voltage of your cell membrane is, and the cells can't kick out the viruses that may be trapped in there. So just treating the overt symptom is not getting to the root cause. And so there's so many variables that you really have to, and they're not expensive. I mean, take pH paper, you can buy it at the pharmacy, you can check your pH first thing in the morning. That'll give you a strong indication if you're like below 6.5 or 6.5, you're too acidic. Most people don't get enough quality oils in their diet because most of the oils that you buy at the market are adulterated and it turns your membranes into plastic. So how the heck are you going to get waste products out of a plastic through a plastic membrane, nutrients and oxygen in? You can't. So you get degeneration, disease, and death. Anyway, great question, Stephanie. Thank you.
Yeah, and that pH was another issue that you found on me when I met you. And I test that on my patients too now because it can be very important. And periodically I go back and they got that pH up in the 7s.
Yeah, basically when you're in the acidic range, like 6.5, your pain threshold is very, very low. And that's why these people have severe pain. Then they take more medication for the pain, which makes them more acidic. And they never get out of the, they're stuck in the circle there. Okay. Jared, any more questions or? There we go. Do you think Invisalign treatment is harmful to the body as one has plastic? It's not the plastic in the mouth. Think about it. They're taking teeth, cutting it off a model, realigning the teeth and making them straight, and then making a plastic appliance to force the crooked teeth into a straight alignment. But they have no clue what the hell they're doing to the cranial mechanism. I just finished a case of a woman who had two Invisalign treatments, and I think they had extracted like two teeth on her, and they really screwed her up. She had chronic right neck and right shoulder pain for years. And she used to teach over in France. She was seeing a dentist in London who was doing ALF, and he didn't have the foggiest idea of how to adjust the appliance to balance out the cranium. So she finally got a referral from someone. I don't know if it was a patient of mine who's living in Australia now. But anyway, so she flew back into the States. It took me about 2.5 years to reset everything, but she's totally pain-free now. She's got her life back. So Invisalign is dangerous as hell because they have no clue what they're doing to the cranial mechanism, the spine, the pelvis, and the rest of the body. They're just treating the body as if you're a mannequin, which is lunacy. Anyway, that's, yeah. If you really want me to tell you what I feel, I'll tell you, but only kidding.
Well, look, I mean, I see that in my office too, and people in Invisalign, people in these DNA appliance, and it's never good.
So it's unfortunate I can't find a lab in my locality that does an ALF. Well, the bottom line is I use a lab out in Colorado, and they can ship it anywhere in the world. Murdoch Labs in Colorado. I think it's Grand Junction, if I'm not mistaken. But you can look them up on the internet. They're one of the best labs that I've used in the world. There's also a lab up in Toronto or Orthodent. I know Bill Van Evans is the CEO, and they make a really great ALF appliance up there. So, it makes no difference. The world's really small today. you go where you get the best services. When I was doing general dentistry, I used a Crown and Bridge lab in Germany. It was the best Crown and Bridge worker that I've ever seen. So, you know, distance is not an issue anymore because of all the shipping capabilities today. So, yeah, don't be afraid. Duncan Alderson, one of my favorite patients, a question for you. I have some prostate issues, and my urologist wants me to do 3 tests. PSA, first of all, PSA test is not indicative of cancer. That's number one. Cytoscopy, I guess you want to stick something up your penis there and look around. God bless them. And the C scan with a dye. You recommend these tests? Yeah, I recommend these tests for a mannequin where there's no pain involved if they stick something up your penis. But for a human being, first of all, these tests are not defining what's causing the swelling. And in a high percentage of cases, it's usually a fungal infection in the prostate that's causing it to swell so that you can't fully evacuate your urine when you go to the bathroom. But, I mean, the medical profession is Neanderthal in their thinking, and their testing, you know, just reinforces their Neanderthal mentality. They're not defining what the heck's causing the underlying problem. And that is, can we heal a cavity? depends. If it's small, you may be able to use a Biodent from Standard Process, some organic minerals. Again, okay, why do you have the cavity in the first place? Well, back in the 20s, there was an endocrinologist who discovered that an underactive thyroid, okay, will cause tooth decay. So the cavity is a reaction to something that's going haywire in the body. So the key in the equation is that you have to assess the thyroid, because if that's not corrected, you're going to get more cavities. Also, what's the oral pH? If you're too acidic, you're enhancing the strep viridans, which is a common bacteria in the oral cavity that's going to cause tooth decay. So again, if you don't change the environment, the pathology is going to continue to wreak havoc. So yes, if you change the terrain, if you change the thyroid function, if you increase the minerals in your diet, then if it's a small cavity, it could remineralize. Good question, though. How about teeth and tinnitus, which is within the brain? Okay, tinnitus can be caused by many, many different things. I had a patient who went to a rock concert many years ago, and he had ringing in his ears afterward. Sometimes there's meleocinches and stapes in the ear, and the stapedius muscle can go into spasm, pulling the acicular chain tight, causing tinnitus. That's one possibility. You can get an underactive thyroid will cause ringing in the ears. Also, if there's a cranial distortion, for example, a temporal bone that's rotated, that can cause tension on the acicular chain in the ear. Years ago, I had a patient who had a deep overbite, and I made her an appliance to restore the vertical height of her teeth. And within a week, her tinnitus totally disappeared. So again, what's the underlying cause? You know, mercury fillings in someone's mouth. Mercury can mimic any medical problem on this planet. So there could be mercury leaking from the teeth causing tinnitus. So you really have to do your homework and start looking at the potential causes for these different things. Okay, I've been taking the diatomaceous earth for 2.5 months already. I ask, why is there a need to take it for 3 months? It's because my grandmother told me 3 months is the best treatment time. Now, all kidding aside, the key in the equation is that you got 30 feet of intestines, and you have to scrub the walls of 30 feet of a tube. Well, unfortunately, it takes about a 3-month period to clean the house. So that's just been my clinical experience. I also take ivermectin to fight the virus. Now, any issues with this? I understand the ivermectin is a parasite, right? Should be later towards the end of... Now, yeah, you can take the ivermectin, like I think the 76th day and then the 90th day. Now, the key with the virus is that several factors. Number one, zinc. I like zinc orotate. Zinc actually stops the replication of any virus, but you have to get it into the cell. Hydroxychloroquine is probably one of the most effective drugs to push the zinc into the cell. You can also do it with quercetin, but quercetin is only 50% as effective as hydroxychloroquine in getting the zinc inside the cell. So if you're exposed to SARS-CoV-2, I would seriously recommend using hydroxychloroquine and the zinc orotate. Now, I know there's a doctor out there that promotes a Z-Pak, Dr. Zelensky. Anyway, I went online and I looked at the ingredients. Well, his zinc was in the form of zinc oxide, which is literally ground up rocks. So from my perspective, I don't think that his formula has quality ingredients, to be honest with you. I'm just being straight on with you. The key is ground up rocks are good for plants, but humans need protein bonded to the minerals to get better absorption, or a compound like orotate. Now, if you look at mother's milk, for example, all the minerals that mother's milk produces, calcium orotate, magnesium orotate, zinc orotate, it's in the orotate form. So if mother's milk or if the human body makes it in that form, there must be a reason for it, because it's quickly absorbed and assimilated. So anyway, to answer your question, you need the 3-month period to really scrub your walls, the 30 feet of intestines. And as far as the ivermectin, I would just do it towards the end of the treatment. But the zinc and the hydroxychloroquine are very important, along with vitamin C and D3, like 10,000 units a day, are also crucial in treating any viruses. So great question. Thank you for sharing with us. What are your thoughts on the chronic UTIs? A number of people. Rita, the key with any chronic infection is a weakened immune system. So the key in the equation is what's part of the immune system. 60 to 80% of your intestines make up, or your intestines make up 60 to 80% of your immune system. So if they're having a toxic bowel, that's a major, major source for a weakened immune system. If the thymus gland is not working properly, that's kind of like right under your chest, breastbone here. And again, if your thyroid has glyphosate, has heavy metals in it, has childhood vaccines like tetanus in there, that's again, another situation. Again, and pH, again, the terrain. Infections only occur in toxic terrains. It's that simple, people. Cancer is not a disease. It's an adaptation to low oxygen and a toxic terrain. So you change the terrain and the cells go back to normal. So if you have a chronic UTI, what's causing it? pH imbalance, low voltage, heavy metal toxicity in the tissue, glyphosate in the tissue, dioxin, any number of other chemicals, could be food additives. Again, you have to pinpoint what the heck the splinters are. But just throwing immune-boosting supplements is like painting on rust. It'll look good for a while, but it's going to come back. So Good question.
And with Dr. Smith, with the TMJ cases that I see, and I'm on some TMJ discussion groups, you know, these people always have these other issues. They're never, very rarely is it just a jaw and a disc, you know, a mandible and a disc and some cartilage. It's, they have pelvic issues. They have Lyme disease. They have thyroid issues. They have inflammation all over their body. So when I get a patient like that, you know, I really learned from you that you have to look at everything.
Exactly.
Because otherwise they're just going to be, you're like you said, it's a mannequin with no system attached to it.
Yeah. The average American, I think 60% of the American population has one chronic disease. So you're basically a walking time bomb. And again, most people don't know what real food is. I mean, for breakfast, I have an indoor greenhouse, okay, with a double layer of polyethylene plastic around it. So I don't get glyphosate infested rainwater on my vegetables. And I water them with my whole house water filter system. So the water I'm putting on the soil is the best of the best. Anyway, I went out to my garden. I clipped off some fresh kale, steamed it, and mixed it with sauerkraut. That was my breakfast. It was delicious. Organically grown dark green leafy vegetables are sweet because of the minerals. Now, when they grow with this synthetic fertilizer garbage, they get bitter. But when you grow it organically, it's like you died and went to heaven. It's so tasty. And plus you feel good because you're eating something that has energy to it.
Well, I grew up in Massachusetts and in the Connecticut River Valley, and the soil there was very fertile, and I grew my own vegetables. And I remember saying, this was when I was 18 years old. I said, if food tasted like this in the grocery store, people would go and buy vegetables. You wouldn't have to say, go eat your vegetables. You wouldn't have to tell them to do that. They just naturally do it because they were so delicious.
Exactly. And unfortunately, the soils in 1929 were deplete when Congress authorized the study. They were lacking minerals in 1929. So you can rest assured that today you're better off eating the cardboard that the product came into. At least you'll get fiber out of the deal. Okay. Jared, do we have any more questions or we can just wrap it up? I think we had a great presentation. Does food-based zinc such as Mega Food brand get in the cell better than food than being food-based? Well, I eat sardines, skinless and boneless, and they're very high in zinc. So I think, now the key is, what's the state of your cell membrane? Okay. So if your cell membrane is plastic, you could take the best supplement in the world. It's not going to get through. So you got to start taking organic cold pressed omega 6, omega 3, and 11:1 ratio. I follow Dr. Brian Peskin's work. It's called PEO Solution. It's about $45 the book, but it'll be one of the best investments that you ever make because he gives you hardcore science that backs up what he's saying. He's not giving you, fluff. And when you take the omega 6 organic cold pressed and omega 3, your body can make any oil that it needs, DEA, EPA, omega 9s, omega 7s, omega 2s, whatever. The body can make it. So you don't have to take 50 different oils. You're just taking the parent oil, and from that, it can make whatever it needs. Now, if you take the adulterated oils, the body can't convert it to other oils. So you'll see, it'll change your life because you start repairing your cell membrane, which is the basis of the cell, and that's foundational. Again, I always look to get back to basics. Less is more. But if your cell membrane's corrupted, that's why I advocate ozone treatment for my cancer patients, because even though their cell membranes are plastic, the ozone can get through the plastic membrane into the cell and change the environment of the cell, and the cancer goes back to normal. So anyway, that's my logic behind that.
Those oils did very well with my dog as well. I gave them to my dog, and I swear she pretty rapidly started behaving like she was 3 years younger. My dog is 11 now.
And well, the arthritic joints start to clear up.
Yeah. It was like, oh, you're running around and you're more playful. And I'm like, well, what did I do? Well, I gave her the oils.
Well, it's interesting. Most of the, quote, scientific studies were done with adulterated omega-6 oils. That's why your doctors say, oh, no, they're dangerous. They're pro-inflammatory. It's because he's ignorant. He's unaware of the true research that Brian Peskin presents in his book. Organic cold-pressed omega-6 oils, safflower, sunflower, walnut, avocado oil, okay, they're anti-inflammatory. In fact, people who have dandruff or people who have diffuse joint pains, they're lacking these essential oils. So what brand oils? I basically use YES, your essential supplements. You can look them up online. And it's a 11-to-1 ratio of omega-6 to omega-3. And anybody that tells you that omega-3 is more important don't know what the hell they're talking about. In Peskin's book, he shows from the medical literature that your skin has a 1,000-to-1 ratio of omega-6 to omega-3. Your nervous system has a 100-to-1 ratio of omega-6 to omega-3. Your organs have a 4-to-1 ratio of omega-6 to omega-3. And your adipose tissue have, I think, a 22.5-to-1 of 6-to-3. So how the heck can 3 be more important than 6? And the fish oils that they push are toxic as hell because they're rancid at room temperature. The pharmaceutical company spent millions and millions of dollars, and it took them 10 years to brainwash the doctors. And it's the leading sale of supplement in the United States is fish oil, and it's pure poison. It'll actually cause a decrease in your coenzyme Q10 and create congestive heart failure. So once you understand the truth, you know, you can shoot anybody down because they don't have the facts. They just listen to the propaganda that their medical doctor is spewing out. That's all. Anyway, good question. Once you start taking it, you'll see you won't burn when you go out in the sun. Because the reason why you burn is your skin's already inflamed from the adulterated omega-6 oils. So you go out in the sun, it just makes the inflammation worse and they get red and burn. Anyway, thank you for tuning in. Jared will probably have it up on our website, the ghsdoc.live, tomorrow, and I don't know, one other, and maybe YouTube, I don't know, wherever he's going to put it, but it'll be readily available. People can watch it, share it with your friends. But the key in the whole equation is get back to basics. You don't need these esoteric, invasive testing to try to discern what the heck is going on. Energy medicine is where it's at. It's more accurate than any of these fancy blood tests. So, Dan, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule and sharing your story. It was great.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. And I, you know, anytime I can talk teeth with you, and of course all the other stuff too. But you know,
my pleasure. So, yeah. God bless. Thank you very much for taking time out of your busy schedule to spend an hour with us. And hopefully you'll walk away with a pearl or two that'll maybe change your life. So, absolutely. Thank you.